The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots fighting for fairness for all. But they're not even fit to hold office.
Okay, we're back for hour two of National Intel Report. I'm your host, William Rapillum. I got Paul from California guest host with me tonight. And we are discussing the fraud of virology. So Paul, you were saying, please continue from where you left off.
Okay, I'll try to touch upon a few things quickly, sort of hit the highlights, because this really could be and should be, a 3 or 4 hour show where there's back and forth, because there's so many things that are interrelated. But to try to keep it as simple as possible, so we all know that we've been sick before, and we know people that have been sick, and generally, you know, what are their symptoms, right? Low energy, okay, fever, sometimes chills, runny nose, coughing. Maybe nausea, throwing up, diarrhea. So what's going on here? Well, you know, throwing up is obvious. The body's trying to get rid of something, right? Nausea, why is that? Well, the body doesn't want you to eat anymore. It wants to fast. The same thing with such things as diarrhea, runny nose. The body wants to get rid of mucus and the contents of the mucus, okay? The reason that people get sick in the wintertime, and this has been well studied and, in my opinion, well understood, is that because of temperature change, right, the metabolism changes, the thyroid is in control of this, as well as the thymus and the hypothalamus, and what happens is we're sensitive to temperature and pressure. So there's a reaction, and sometimes quite quickly, where the body is going into a recalibration and a so-called healing crisis, and that's why we get a runny nose and or a cough and or a fever. It's pretty well agreed upon that a fever is designed to raise the body temperature to kill certain, maybe perhaps problematic microorganisms. There's various theories on this, but I think that's mostly agreed upon. Here's another thing to touch upon about why we feel good, why we have energy. Everybody's heard the term, I feel run down. Well, in actuality, you are run down on what's known as voltage. There's a very good video introduction I recommend everybody to watch. It's called Healing is Voltage by Dr. Jerry Tennant. It's still on YouTube, I believe. It's 25 minutes. Now, I myself have at least 8 or 10 hours into Dr. Jerry Tennant, but Healing is Voltage is a good introduction. And what he goes into is he talks about pH. pH is potential hydrogen. It's actually a measure of voltage. So we do produce our own energy in the form of electricity, essentially. We're electric, bioelectric beings. One of the reasons that we're sensitive to magnetic fields, for example. So we really do get good quality energy in the form of electrons from good quality fresh food. Meanwhile, we get taxed on our electrical potential from poor foods and also negative environmental influences, including stress. So when we're feeling good, we're producing more energy and we're producing it more efficiently. When we don't feel so good, we are indeed run down. And studies of the blood have confirmed this. Just like, for example, when people walk around barefoot on dirt or grass, they actually pick up charge from the earth. This is well known, well studied. There's a great film anybody can watch. It's called Earthing, the movie. And they've changed people's blood and people's health just by having them walk barefoot. And it's amazing to see a slide of the blood after somebody's walked around and taken up charge from the earth, because now the blood cells are all negatively charged and they're repelling each other, and there's lots of space between them. They're not all clumped together. So there's a lot of stuff going on. One of the reasons they're injecting us with graphene and graphene oxide is graphene and graphene oxide has an affinity to electrical activity, such as the heart and the brain. So this is why people are having cardiac issues and also neurological issues. That's why people will go numb or get tremendous pain and or tingling in their extremities, because the way that the body sends signals is electrical, right? In other words, all the nerves are, for the most part, and I think Dr. Jerry Tennant has more or less conclusively proved this, the nerves, which are also part and parcel of what they call the acupuncture meridians, are essentially just the body's transmission lines. That's what they really are. I'm going to drop one other name real quick. Dr. Dean Bonlie, B-O-N-L-I-E. Dr. Dean Bonlie did a tremendous amount of work in magnetism, and he actually was a dentist. He actually minored in physics in college and then went on to become a dentist going through dental school. But he started looking into many other things to help the health of his patients. And he, on one of his videos, he said he went to the library at UCLA and he read everything he could on electromagnetism and the bioelectric nature of the body. And what he discovered, there's a lot of different studies have been done, but one of them is the fact that when you reduce the magnetic field, which you can do, in other words, the earth has a magnetic field, when this magnetic field is reduced or altered, people get sick. So that's something to consider in the big picture. I'll sum this up before we go to calls, or you want to say more, William, is the reason I don't believe as virus as the cause of illness is it never made any sense to me from the very beginning, because all I needed to do was to go start reading what they said a virus was, and then I came upon this trigger word. I spent maybe 3 to 4 hours reading, so I'm not a microbiologist, I'm not a virologist, but I came upon this phrase multiple times, hijacks the cellular machinery to replicate itself. And I thought, really? How do they know this? And we certainly don't have any film of it. And there's been no empirical studies or no double-blind controlled studies to show this takes place at all. In other words, the reason viruses are supposed to make us ill is they get inside of us somehow. They're these independent agents somehow. They're other than self, and they trick the body's cells into replicating the virus by, quote, hijacking the cellular machinery, and other such nonsensical terms. When I first read that and saw that, I said to myself, what the hell are they talking about? So are they saying the cell has got some kind of a factory, an assembly line inside, and the virus just gets in there and starts messing with the switches and the production blueprints and changes what the cell would normally do into spitting out more viruses? And this is supposed to make you sick how? This is supposed to kill you how? It never made any sense to me. Plus, like I said, the virus was so deadly that you needed to get people in the hospital, put them on toxic drugs, put them on a respirator or a ventilator to kill them. And or we needed to inject people for a virus that was never proven to exist, that was never isolated, and that every health agency or lab that's been asked has said, sorry, we don't have any samples for you. That's why we're all supposed to get vaccinated. The fraud to me has been obvious from the get-go. I have a history in knowing what fraud exists in this world. We got funny money. We got a lying press. We got a fake government and a fake president. We have all sorts of fraud and lies everywhere, but we're supposed to believe a cartoon virus. Think about this. All of us have only seen in the press, on TV or in the newspapers, and I've seen them both places, newspaper pictures and TV, we've seen animated, cartoon, colorful viruses. That's all we've ever seen, and in my opinion, that's all that exists. So that's my say on the matter for the moment. Thank you for letting me.
Paul, man, you are on fire, buddy. Thank you for that commentary. I think you really summed it up really, really well. I mean, you know, I've always kind of known it's like I used to go to the doctor years and years ago, and why can they never get to the root cause of what my issue is? It's always like guessing. Here, try this, or go try that, or do this or that or whatever. I don't know. Well, what's causing this? Well, we don't know. No. Well, why not? You're the doctor. You're supposed to be able to figure out what the root cause is, and they never are able to. All they do is give you drugs, or if you get a serious illness that cut off your body parts, give you, you know, more toxic, something like chemotherapy if you get cancer. And that's really not how you do things. So that's how they do things in allopathic medicine.
Yeah. And you pointed out the actuality, or what I call the frightening reality of modern medicine. Most of modern medicine is a complete, utter fraud. I think if you read Eustace Mullins and you take in the material that you've already taken in, William, you're well on your way to understanding that. If you were to look at G. Edward Griffin's book, World Without Cancer, and especially the second part, the political nature of cancer, meaning, of course, the money, then you know that they don't have any interest in helping you at all. All they want to do is take your money, make you sicker, and make you need more of their drugs because you believe them. You believe in what they're telling you. And let's face it, some doctors, maybe a good portion of them, have been miseducated themselves, and they don't know. They don't understand because, like David Icke once said, they're repeaters, okay? They're very good repeaters, and that's why they advance. And this is not to indict all good medical professionals because, as we know, many good-hearted ones and well-meaning ones and knowledgeable ones are posting their work on these video platforms, and you can see what it is they say instead of the media and the mainstream doctors who don't know anything except what they call standard of care. And in many cases, they feel dictated to, and they feel in fear for their professional licenses. And that should never have come to that. I feel that modern medicine, just like any other profession, should be allowed to stand on its own, and individual practitioners to rise and fall according to their own ability and their own popularity. And when they mispractice or malpractice, they should indeed be prosecuted and punished. And the ones that are doing well and helping people stay well, they're the ones that should be rewarded. But as you know, we have a system where order following is rewarded.
Correct. Order following, funding. You can't get funding if you don't go along with the official dogma. And if you go back to the Flexner report from Abraham Flexner, and when Morris Fishbein and Abraham Flexner at the turn of the 20th century, around that time, started the dogma of allopathic medicine, which is very extremely well elucidated in Eustace Mullins' book. You know, getting to know the history of kind of how we got here is so important. It's so, so important, you know, and that's the beauty of what's happening, is that we've been asleep, we're waking up, and we're learning these things, and now, you know, I wouldn't want to be alive at any other time. This is a great time. So there's also Lorraine Day's book, I just want to mention real quick. It's called Germs Don't Cause Disease Any More Than Flies Cause Garbage. This is her new book. Lorraine Day was the chief trauma surgeon at San Francisco General Hospital in the 80s. There is nobody I don't know of that has worked on more people with AIDS, or has, you know, have done operations on people with AIDS as a trauma surgeon, dealing with some of the disgusting kind of things that she had to deal with, and a lot of the blood flying around everywhere, people that had AIDS, the dangers that the CDC did not care about the doctors at all either, and their safety. So, you know, if anybody knows about this stuff, it would be her, especially her being at the epicenter of the AIDS epidemic like she was. So, yep. All of medicine is a fraud except trauma. This is what it says on the book. Germs don't cause disease. Drugs don't cure disease. Vaccinations don't prevent disease. And doctors are the dupes of big pharma. And then it asks these questions. Is the germ theory true or false? Scientists say you have 10 trillion good bacteria in your colon and they comprise one third of your immune system. Then why do doctors prescribe antibiotics that wipe out the good bacteria in your colon? Scientists say there are 30,000. Go ahead, Paul.
No, I was just kidding. Yeah, no, I didn't want to interrupt you, but there's a good point to make at this point. You're talking about the colon and also the gut. And what a lot of people don't realize is the bacteria in our gut make so many things that are beneficial. The majority of the melatonin and the serotonin in our body, in our circulation, comes from the gut bacteria. So, again, this is one of the things about what makes people well and what makes people feel ill. And a lot of it is, like you were saying before, the toxic food that a lot of people eat that promotes the wrong sort of bacteria. And then also people have taken antibiotics to kill these bacteria, which have a function. They do things, you know, as opposed to a virus, which is just a particle that does nothing. Again, going back to the definition, it's a piece of RNA or DNA in a protein coat. It's inert. It doesn't consume or excrete anything. It does not reproduce sexually or asexually. It doesn't have any respiration. So what the heck is it? They're telling us already, just from the definition, that it's nothing. So I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
It's a piece of genetic material wrapped in a lipid coating. And it says that it can't do anything unless it gets access to a host cell in your body. And then if it does that, then it replicates to the rest of the host cells, and then it makes your body sick. Which makes, like you said, makes no sense. It's a complete inversion of reality. The reality is what I believe, okay? The reality is that these are exosomes. They get produced from the toxic situation in your body that's being addressed by bacteria that are coming to clean up the mess. The exosomes get generated from that, what they call cytopathic effect in your body. And then they say there's a virus. Oh, it's viruses, and they're spreading because there's a whole lot of them. There's a whole lot of these exosomes, which remarkably look identical to viruses. They have the same, what they call, morphology. All right, so we got a call. We got a couple of calls. And let's go ahead and to our callers. First, we got Dan in Washington. Dan, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Thanks for taking the call. I said I'd call in and debate you guys on viruses, but I mean, the good thing about science is we don't have to believe or not believe. You know, you don't have to believe that there's, you know, things we can't see are very hard to understand. Like, if you would have told me what an atom is, I wouldn't have believed in the concept of an atom. You know,
that's
an electron
that's a perfect
going
point.
Around it.
That's a perfect point.
You know, electricity. What's electricity? You can't see it. You know, so you got electrons flowing through metal. It's just. But viruses. I looked into it, and I have had COVID. I think it was a biological weapon, and that's what these labs do. They sit there and invent things. But the first
time,
Hold on, Dave.
Let Dan kind of finish. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead, Dan.
The first virus was seen with an electron microscope in 1935. They've more than isolated viruses. These doctors on YouTube saying they haven't been isolated, or they're just not telling you the truth, from what I see.
Okay, wait. So in 1935, isolated by who? Let's look at this. Let's look it up.
It was seen with an electron microscope.
By who?
First virus. The guy in Germany. Forgot his name. Probably a Nazi.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, they see Germany. Him, you know.
I want to have
1935. It was, but okay. We'll have to go and look at that. Go ahead. I think we've got a break.
I mean, just
hey, stick around, Dan. Hang out. We'll keep you all over the break. We'll continue again. All right. Stick around, folks. Continue with this virus debate.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
We are back for Hour 2, National Intel Report. William Rapillo, I'm your host here. I got Paul from California joining me. And we have Dan from Washington, and he has called in to, I guess you said you wanted to debate us on this. I guess that's kind of what we're doing, and having a good conversation about this, because this is a great conversation to be having. We want to get down to the truth and figure out what's going on. I definitely feel like we've figured that out. But Dan, I know you disagree. You have, you brought up in 1935, you said that, someone discovered a virus. I'm looking in the history of virology on on the internet right now. I only find a couple of dates here. There's a guy named Wendell Stanley. He examined a tobacco mosaic virus and found it was mostly made of, maybe you got the, it doesn't matter. You got the year wrong or something. It doesn't, not a big deal.
In the 1930s, that's when they invented the electronic microscope.
The electronic microscope.
Because the guy with the tobacco virus thought that viruses were like bacteria. So he had a filter to filter out bacteria, but the viruses were so small that he didn't know what they were. But it wasn't until like the 1930s with the electron microscope you can clearly see viruses.
So I think this goes back to Louis Pasteur, right? So Louis Pasteur, the inventor of the germ theory.
No, it's way later, it's 1930s when they invented the electron microscope. So you can see viruses.
So, all right. So now you can see viruses. Now, how do they prove that viruses cause disease?
Because, you could look into the case of Epstein-Barr syndrome. What I do is when I look into something, I study the whole field, right? Like, I study the history of virology. And so YouTube's actually, Wikipedia is actually pretty good because it will have links to take you around. Well. But, they've isolated viruses many times. They've came up with antibodies and antidotes for viruses.
So what do you mean by isolated? What is that process that they use to isolate? Well, besides just an electron microscope. I guess we've asked you that already, but I don't want to go in circles.
Yeah.
Can I give Paul a chance to reply to you real quick, Dan?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just what you've said so far? Okay, go ahead, Paul.
Okay, thank you. So there's a number of what we might call logical fallacies that Dan said at the beginning of the call. So he first talked about the fact that, the good thing about science is either you can, believe it or choose not to believe it. And then he went on to say, how does he know about electricity? Because you can't see it. Or how does he know about molecules or atoms? Because you can't see those. So therefore, those would be a belief. More or less, that's the gist of what you were saying. But here's a problem, Dan. So, for example, if I say to you, what is science? And I want you just to sum it up in a few words, just a couple of bullet points or three or four bullet points. If I say, Dan, what is science? What are you going to say to me?
Well, you got that a little off. I said, science, it's not something you believe or not believe. It's something that can be proven. That's the hypothetical theory.
Okay.
So you come up with a hypothesis, and then you can either prove it or disprove it.
Okay, so that's not
pretty proven science.
Okay, so that's not bad. It was better than I expected but I thought I clearly heard you say the good thing about science is you can believe or not believe it, but I could be wrong.
No, that's the opposite. Yeah, opposite of what I was saying.
so just quickly, so just burn this, tattoo this in your brain, and for any and all listeners, science is quite simple. It's observation, hypothesis, experimentation, confirmation. And then we can add the next one, repetition. It's really all it is. Observation, hypothesis, experimentation, confirmation, repetition. Actually, confirmation and repetition could pretty much go together. So therefore, you say that they've isolated viruses. Let's assume they have. My first question would be, so what? Okay, so where do we go from here? The fact of the matter is, you can't find any. And by the way, many people have looked. Cowan, Kaufman, Stefan Lanka, so forth and so on, they've all looked for studies that allege that there's a causal link or correlation with illness, and they're just completely utter rubbish. I mean, I've heard, and I'm sure William has too, Kaufman and Cowan together and other people as well, completely trash these so-called papers that these scientists produce because they're full of holes. And, here's the thing. I would recommend, Dan, if you haven't seen this, and anybody in the audience has not seen this video on BitChute, it's still up the last time I checked. It's called Pandemic Theater, The History of the Infection Theory of Disease. That's Stefan Lanka.
Right.
So once again, I'm going to repeat it. Pandemic Theater, The History of the Infection Theory, Stefan Lanka. It's on BitChute. It's about 40 minutes. It's actually in German with English subtitles. The video quality is poor. There's a lot of red in there for whatever reason. But the content is excellent. And he goes back to the Middle Ages. This stuff has been going on back to the Middle Ages. And the most important thing he said on that video is that a fraud has turned into a crime. I would start there.
All right. Well, on that note,
is that the
up against that break?
Right.
Yeah, we're up against the break. So just hold over, Dan. We'll continue after the break. Stick around, folks. You're right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website, by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our 5th bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
All right. We're back, folks. Hour two of National Intel Report. John Stadtmiller. I'm your host, William Rapillon. We got Paul from California. And we've been holding Dan over because Dan had prearranged to call in and debate us on viruses. So Dan, the question for you. So I sent some material over to look at first because did you get a chance to look at that material?
Yeah, I did. Actually, the video, or you read a passage of one of the videos. There was 2 points. I mean,
which one? Which one? I sent a couple. It was Sam Bailey.
The lady and then the guy. The lady that said
Sam Bailey.
Said there's never been any virus that's ever been isolated. So I look up, has viruses been isolated? Boom. Tons of viruses have been isolated.
Wait a minute, Dan. Wait, real quick. So, yes, they say they've isolated many viruses. The way they say they've isolated viruses is through in silico isolation, which is basically computer models where they take this where they take this massive amount of cells that they have, and they isolate what they take, you know, like what they do with the PCR test. They take a small fragment of a gene sequence, they put them all together, and then they say, okay, they concoct them all together. I mean, they take like billions of cells, and then they need to make a genome that's about, you know, 30,000. And they take them, they concoct them, and they put them all together, and they finally get what they had made as a model, which they've never isolated. They just made it up. And then they say, okay, we've isolated it. So it's fraud. So that's what they explain in that video.
It's not fraud. It's science. And the other point is there's never been two viruses isolated that are exact same. And I'm thinking, well, have you ever seen a snowflake that's the exact same? They're all different, right? But it doesn't mean snowflakes.
Well, you can't do that. No. You can't do that to us, Dan. Sorry.
Yeah, I can. And his nuclear weapon analogy didn't make any sense. If a virus kills people, that's like saying Hiroshima was a virus, right? That's illogical. That analogy was illogical.
That's not the best analogy. I would not have used it, but that's okay. That the snowflake.
I agree. It's not a great analogy.
Yeah. See, here's the problem, Dan, that we have is we'll concede your point. I'll concede your point that viruses have been isolated. We'll concede that. Okay, now what? Right? Show me the studies. Send the links. Okay, or you go to Wikipedia and you find people that have supposedly written papers that proved causation of illness from viruses or virus particles, and we'll take a look at them. But
that was going to be my next point. That'll hang up and let other callers on. Right now is proof to show what you were saying, Paul, is inaccurate. All three of us could go to some university where they have chickenpox isolated. We could all take a Q-tip, put it in a little jar, put it on our tongue, and in a few days we're going to have itchy, gross, freaking zits all over our body.
I'm not sure about that, unless you've had it before
and you have immunity, you know.
Dan, so the experimentation that was done at the turn of the century, which is recounted in the video, there's so many different videos on the Space Busters channel on BitChute, but the one they did the end of germ theory, just watch the first 20 minutes of that. So he recounts the work that was covered in Arthur Furstenberg's excellent work called The Invisible Rainbow. All right. I also recommend something called Dirty Electricity. You should read that book. It's a very short, quick read called Dirty Electricity by Stanley Milgram. But anyway, in Arthur Furstenberg's book, The Invisible Rainbow, which he attributes the modern diseases to electrification, and there's tons of evidence on this, but he talks about the work that they did, which, again, is recounted also in the video, The End of Germ Theory, that all the thorough, exhaustive, determined effort they made to make people sick using other people's bodily fluids and blood, including up to injection, had them coughing on them, breathing on them, swabbing mucus on them, and again, injecting blood, injecting mucus, doing everything they could to make other people sick with presumed contagious agents. What would be
the chances they would all have the same symptoms of itchy, bumpy, gross pimples all over your body, you know?
I don't understand.
If we all got the chickenpox virus, we would all get sick pretty much.
Okay. So. What I just said to you was, in my opinion, complete and comprehensive, and you came back with, in my opinion, was a non sequitur about chickenpox.
It's an epidemiological observation that you're making. There's been no scientific proof of this. It's an epidemic. You know what I mean? So you're making an assumption, and that's what the medical industry has done. They have not scientifically proven any of this.
Yes,
they've not.
Yes, yeah. They have.
So
yes,
show the
have.
Paper. You're... Okay, we'll bring the paper and show us the paper.
You have to show the paper, Dan.
Where is it?
What I do
Where
is,
is
I
the
study,
study?
Things... Well, you
show
can look
study
it up.
That
look
they've
up,
proven.
Look up Epstein
that...
Barr. Look but, up Epstein
let's
Barr.
Not...
They
okay,
isolated
not...
a virus, and it's right there. They got a vaccine for it. They see what it is. Epstein Barr. Look into it.
So,
I study. Listen, hold on, let me finish.
Uh-huh.
I study virology and the history of who found what, who discovered what. I don't listen to Joe Schlo on YouTube saying it's all the 5G or whatever. When okay, if that was the case, why don't we all get chicken pox every time you're by a 5G? Like, a lot of the stuff you were saying, Paul, is very easily to disprove. I mean, yeah, you get sick with your losing vitamins and stuff, but, you know, there are certain viruses that can kill you. So
that's just complete.
I'll let another caller get on, guys.
All right.
Thanks, man.
We appreciate the call. We'll continue the conversation, and we'll continue to answer these questions.
Rubbish.
Even though, I'm sorry. Okay. We got
Bring
next. We
Dave.
Got Sherry in Kansas.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Sherry, welcome to the show, and what's on your mind?
Oh, there I am. Okay.
Hey, Sherry.
Hello, gentlemen. I'd like to tell Dan that it was impossible to see a live virus in 1935 with an electron microscope because your sample is dead when you're looking at it in an electron microscope.
If it ever was living.
Oh, that's a great point. How can it be a live virus when a virus is not even the medical community knows that these are not living things? They're just inert.
Go on.
Innocuous things. Go ahead.
I'll tell you what, the book and information that won me over to the terrain theory, and I haven't heard y'all mention it, so it's called The Galileo of the Microscope, The Life and Trials of Gaston Nessens. And it was written by Christopher Bird. And the Christopher Bird also, now he wrote this book, published it in 1993. But shortly after Roy Raymond Rife died, he went looking for his microscope, and he, in the appendix of this book, he published the article he submitted for New Age Journal in the early 70s. Of what he found, and a lot about Rife too, and the term we're looking for is pleomorphism, it was Roy Rife's microscope was very complicated. He was about a generation before Gaston Nessens, and Gaston Nessens was not even aware of Rife's work because he was in France, and then he was moved to Canada. But Rife's microscope had 5,682 parts.
Right. 5,000 parts. That's amazing.
Yeah. Gaston Nessens only had like about 265, and his was much easier to focus, and he was able to take pictures of this pleomorphic cycle. But I really recommend you all.
And what is that? Can you explain that in layman terms? I'm not familiar with that.
Pleomorphism
is where he actually observed. Now he said when people were healthy, there was generally a three-part cycle that he observed in the blood. But when people were ill, there were like 16 of forms, and that's one morphing into another, pleomorphism.
Okay.
And
right.
it's really interesting because he actually continued like Anton Bechamp's work, and Gunther Enderlin, he was another one that was working on the terrain theory.
You're making a great call, and hang on, Sherry, but I really want to interject for William and all the other listeners. So, yes, in fact, the thing that's amazing to me, and of course, if you have not seen this, William, you can online. I believe I can find the link pretty quickly, I think, and maybe send it later to you and Richard.
Okay.
I think Richard has already received the link, but you can see under the microscope, Raymond Royal Rife took photographs, actually movies, of these organisms, because he could see with his optical microscope, not electron, but an optical microscope, he could see the living blood and the living organisms, living tissue, you can see one organism change form. Change form. That's pleomorphic.
Gotcha.
Form.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Dave. We got to move on to the next set of calls. Real quick, Sherry, what was the book? Name of the book by Christopher Byrd?
The name of the book is The Galileo of the Microscope, The Life and Trials of Gaston Nassens. And Nassens is spelled N-A-E-S-S-E-N-S.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, the Galileo, it's the same book, right? The Galileo of the Microscope, I'm sure we'll find.
Christopher Byrd is the author.
Okay.
Right.
All right, thanks. Bye.
All right, Sherry, thank you very much for the call. Paul, do you want to finish your thought? We've got to move on. We've got four more callers.
Yeah, exactly. For Sherry that's probably continuing to listen, Christopher Byrd has also written an excellent book called Secrets of the Soil with Peter Tompkins. I believe he also was a co-author of The Secret Life of Plants. So, again, I highly recommend those books, and I'm going to check this book out. I had not heard of it, so thank you, Sherry.
Awesome. All right. Okay, thanks. Okay, we got Vinny in Indiana. Vinny, thank you for calling in. What's on your mind?
Coming in good?
Kind of. Little blurry.
Okay, I'm gonna put you on better?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. At the start of the show, you mentioned the book by Susan Humphreys.
Yep.
And she's the one who questioned
Dissolving Illusions.
Whether or not vaccinations ended smallpox.
Correct.
Yes.
And besides your book, she has lots of video presentations. I've read pretty large excerpts from her book. The previous caller talked about, germ theory versus terrain theory, okay? And to be honest, they really complement each other. I mean, Pasteur and Beauchamp, they obviously in their time they had different theories and they fought back and forth, but they also respected one another. And like Humphreys is a perfect example. She believes there's viruses that cause chickenpox and pertussis and other diseases, but on the terrain side, most of these diseases do not require a vaccine. They require like vitamin C. A child who is given massive doses of vitamin C, they can get through pertussis or whooping cough without a vaccine. And there's dangers in getting the vaccine because precisely, like your other caller pointed out, it's very hard to isolate a virus. It's hard enough with a bacteria to get a vaccine to go through the Koch fossils. It's
I got one question about that,
Vinny,
hang on, am I on mute? Oh, no, I'm not on mute. Okay, Vinny, let me ask one question about it. It's very hard to isolate a virus. Well, a virus is, how big is a virus? It's the same size as an exosome, right? Now, they've isolated exosomes, so why is it so hard to isolate a virus? That's a question.
Well, for example, with polio, one of the problems they had was they had the vaccine contaminated with other viruses.
No,
that's probably because they started poisoning the cell.
Vinny, you need to do more work, Vinny. Just that's all I'm suggesting. How about Dr. Mary's monkey?
You can read it. I mean, this is they gave children polio vaccines that had another virus.
They gave children poison.
And
poison. All vaccines are.
Not only that, there's the issue of adjuvants in the vaccines.
I'm going to tell you the most valuable thing you're ever going to hear. All vaccines are Jewish poison. All. No vaccine has ever been safe or effective. No vaccine has ever conferred any immunity ever. Okay? There's only one conclusion to draw. If you just touch upon the work of all these people, Suzanne Humphreys, Gary Null, so on and so forth. If you just take a look at all the people and I've mentioned, okay, there is no such thing as an effective vaccine or a safe vaccine, and no vaccine can possibly confer any immunity. It's all fraud. It's all junk science. And real quick, the terrain and germ theory, they're not complementary because Pasteur was a fraud. Stefan Lanka covers the fraud of Pasteur because he took a look at his original notes. He was allowed to because the Pasteur Foundation made the notes public. Stefan Lanka went to Paris, read the notes, where Pasteur admitted he knew he was a fraud. Pasteur admitted he was a fraud. And so the thing about germ theory is it's not true. So therefore, it doesn't complement anything. Thank you for letting me say that.
All right, we got to move to the next call. Vinny, thank you for the call. We got Gregory in California. Gregory, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
All this germ theory poopy and all this other crap. Everybody's just, first off, if you look up virus in the dictionary, the first word you come by is, what is it, poison? Yeah. How many different ways are we poisoning ourselves? And so, to me, the germ theory is just that, just nothing but a theory. What is pertinent is our immune system. Let's just say our immune system works like our muscles and our brain. If you don't exercise them, they lose their you lose it, right? And so the more germs you're around, the more...
Yourself, then you're, if you poison your immune system by taking vaccines that you don't need, nobody needs vaccines, nobody needs help from Bill Gates, nobody needs help, nobody needs this. We don't. We don't need these vaccines. We've never needed them. In the last 150 years, they've been now they've been giving us these vaccines, forcing them on everybody, and now they're forcing them on.
It was hypocrisy.
50 something of them on kids now. Yeah, that's the Hippocratic oath.
Yeah, exactly. And when somebody shoots me in the arm with some kind of poison, I'm sorry, but that kind of hurts. I'm just a wimp, but that's kind of harmful.
All right.
No, these hip doctors are supposedly have taken the Hippocratic oath. In my mind, are a bunch of hypocrites. I mean, you don't cut off a person's opinions when they're a baby and they don't have a say in the matter. That is brutal.
Right.
And it's
Greg. We got to move on. Thank you for the call. Okay, we got two more callers. So we really appreciate your call. Please call back again next time. We got Murr in Wisconsin. Murr, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, hello. I wanted to say what's most pertinent is, one thing Lorraine Day also said about, there really is no flu season. There's indoor air and junk food season, okay? And she said cancer doubles faster, twice as fast in indoor air. But what I really wanted to tell you was, what I told Stormfront more than 2 years ago and repeatedly, not only that we have individual, innate, and acquired immunity, there is no herd immunity, but this whole thing, this is a whole Jew up, because first they had to have the money so they can control the world through propaganda. Bill Gates is a Jew, and people subconsciously connect viruses to computer viruses. And they can be everywhere at once. So voila, these are everywhere at once. You see how that works?
Ubiquitous. They are everywhere at once because they're part of our cytopathic process of our cells.
Well, I'm saying
dealing with toxins, and they're not really viruses. That they've been.
Right.
They've been. It's an identity theft. Viruses are an identity theft of exosomes.
That's what I'm saying. It's a false.
And the Jews are identity thieves. That's just the way. That's what they do. They're professional identity thieves. They've identity thefted the Bible. They've identity thefted science. They've identity thefted everything.
It's important to get away from the media, people. That's the main thing. I've been telling people that for years. Wean yourself off of it. Don Black even said, I'm weaning myself off of it. Because you will be it. You can't fight it. You think you can, but no, your subconscious cannot fight it. And that's why this whole trick has worked.
They
shut down the world in 1 week.
Yep. That's right, Murr. You know what? That's why I say, if you watch television, if you watch it thinking that, you're not immune to it, you're going to be manipulated. You are. It doesn't matter if you think that you won't. If you're watching it, I just want to see what everybody else is saying.
It's in the movies and the music. It's all of it. The movies, the music, the sports, all of it. So you just need to get get away from it. Don't let that in your brain.
You really do.
Purge it out.
Exactly. And
thank
check
you.
Out, you guys. Yeah, thanks, Murr. I really appreciate the call. And everybody, you guys that have called in, please check out the materials of Tom Cowan. Just, you know, I know you guys want to call in and debate this and do all that. And that's fine. But it's obvious that you guys haven't gone and researched this material that we've been talking about. So please do that first. Go and I don't see how any reasonable person that thinks rationally can go and look at what they're saying, which is they've never produced any evidence that they've isolated this virus. And unless they're just lying to us that there's no paper, there's a scientific paper, unless Tom Cowan is lying about that, which I seriously doubt. If he is, then produce the paper that does prove it. It's not there. That is the position that we take here. The papers that prove that viruses cause disease are do not exist. Okay, we got one more caller, Dave in New York. Dave, welcome to the show.
The genius Steve O'Neill pointed out when people were arguing about what was the cause of this disease, he said, listen, ivermectin's the solution. Just use it, and the thing is over. The problem is they're locking everybody down. Just ruin all the contagion because ivermectin works. I thought that was rather brilliant. Now, the issue of this isolation or not, I mean, Dan in Washington was talking about 1935 virus isolation, and you guys respond with an in silico, that these things are determined in silico. Did they have computers back then? Did they know about DNA sequencing back then?
I didn't say that in 1935 it was an in silico virus
isolation.
What
he was talking about. He was saying they isolated back then. Now, Paul brings up a very good point. You know, it's like,
that's
where do you hit
the
said. Machine? Oh, Paul,
he didn't
Paul
say anything
brings
about
up a very
in silico.
Good point.
There's no connection to that point.
He made in silico. He talked about that. Now, the important point that Paul made was, has it been observed? Has anybody seen this? All we've seen are pictures, is what he said. Why don't you go Google it and look it up? There's tons of high-resolution microscopy, electron microscopy images of this now in the literature.
Okay. So
and
how does
they
that
show
prove
these spike
that
the
viruses
proteins.
Cause disease?
I know. Listen, there's no proof of anything.
No.
You can't prove anything. You cannot prove anything in the first place.
So then,
I mean,
why
how
are
old
they
can you prove
that
it?
A virus causes disease if they can't prove it?
Who said this? I mean, the point
what do you
is,
mean who said
does
this?
The virus exist? they took samples from tissues of infected people and found lots of these particulates with definitive spikes on the surface. So let me ask you, what is an exosome and structure, and how does it differ from that of the virus? That's the important question to determine. You have to look at these scientific papers. These papers are the nail in the coffin. They're the nail in the coffin. They, in my estimation, are going to they're going to show.
Like Andrew Coffin.
When you look at these and study them, you will understand that it all fits the virus. SARS-CoV-2 model, much
it's
better
all
than
fraud.
Anything else.
All right, Dave, thank you for the call. We're at the end of the show. We hope you guys will call back and research what we've been presenting here. Believe what you want. But thank you so much for tuning in, and come back next time and take care. Bye-bye.
We must take America back. We must take America.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the
bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.